God bless you. I am Pastor Darrell Simmons once again, coming to you from Spoken Word, located here in the Pacific Northwest, where we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and He overcomes all situations in the life of them who confess with their mouth and believe with their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. God bless you and your families and your loved ones. We pray continuously for our community. We pray continuously for the families of Spoken Word. We pray continuously for the believers in Christ all around the world, that you will stand united as one, as it is written in the Bible, that we are the body of Christ, one Lord, one Christ, one hope, in all, through all, and for all. God bless you. We thank you once again for tuning in, and that we pray that the Word of God is a delight to your heart. As He said, it's a lamp unto thy feet in the name of Jesus. And when we follow the Word of God, He gives us the blueprint. He gives us the pattern that we ought to go and the way that we should go. He says, narrow is the way, but wide is the road that leads to destruction in the name of Jesus. How many of you know out there that God desires that no one should perish, but all come into the knowledge, the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? God bless you. It's so good to see you, and I hope that you are doing well, and that your families are doing well, and that the children are doing well, amen, that the families are coming together even more. I understand that many are out of work, and there's a high rate of unemployment, but guess what? God supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, according to the book of Philippians 4 and 19. Philippians 4 and 19. He says that He supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. And it's what? By the way of Christ Jesus. It's not by the way of humanity. Even though we know that God touches humanity and He moves upon the heart of humanity to provide that which we need. But it's all by Christ Jesus. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we just want to continue to be in the Word of God. And He says, if you will go there, just look with me quickly. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Everything that you need, everything that you feel you're lacking, everything that you don't think you have, God say He will supply all that you need. He didn't say your needs. He said the need. Because we have multiple needs, but whatever you need at that particular moment, that particular time, He will supply that need. Aren't you glad about that? God is not a selfish God, that He is a God that will supply all that you and I need. Amen. Glory to God. How many know when the Word of God comes forth that it deals with the one that is the messenger first? It's not always that we study to show ourselves approved as messengers, but we study to examine ourselves to prove ye not our own selves that we are in the faith, not just the people, but that we are in the faith. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited already about the Word of God. It's an delight to come to you, to stand in a sacred office, to give you the Word of God, to bring words of encouragement, not only to you, but to myself, through me, to you, to get you to stand up and to move out and trust in a holy God. Amen. Let's go in prayer before we go into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Host, God of all things in earth that you have made according to your likeness and in your image. Father, we pray now for this time together for your people all around the world. We pray that they will hear the word, a heed to the word, and acknowledge that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you desire to bring life and not death. Father, we thank you for what you have done up until this time, that we know that you will continue to move on our behalf. And Father, I pray for all men and women around the world that speak the truth and not the lie, that they will stand for your glory and your righteousness. I lift up all the Covenant Connection International pastors and leaders around the world. I lift up our beloved Pastor Valerie Holcomb and her family, the elders and the deacons of the Christian House of Prayer, Cathedral of Central Texas. Father, I give a shout out to our beloved pastor, Dr. Ralph Dawkins, who has been given the ability to write a book of divine revelation. Father, you said it is you that gives the ability to do, and Father, you have given him the ability to do, and therefore we give a shout out and a praise, honor, and glory unto that which you have made him a ready writer. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, all that believe say Jesus is Lord. But without further ado, I'd like to say thank you and God bless you to my beloved wife, April Simmons, the first lady of this house, in the name of Jesus, who is allowing me to come out to bring the word of encouragement to you. If it be the will of God, next Sunday she will be joining me and we will be fellowshipping together to bring words of encouragement and delight to you. I'm so excited about that. Amen. We spoke about that today. Amen. God bless you. And everybody in Central Texas, God bless you. We hope that you are doing good. I'd like to send a shout out to my son, Darrell Jr. God bless you, son. We pray that you are healthy and vibrant and full of strength. And to my daughter, Dominique, we pray for you. We God bless you. And we're so proud of both of you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And lastly, to the spoken word family, God bless you. Stay encouraged. Stay in power. Stay in the love of God, because God loves you. Amen. Know that. So we've been dealing with a teaching, and the overall series has been the benefits of the wisdom of God. But we came last week with a message, and we was talking about God's mercy and God's grace. God's mercy and God's grace. We opened the book from the book of Psalms 136. Well, God had continued to echo to us that his mercy endureth forever. When God says his mercy endureth forever, my brothers and sisters, that means that he has a well of mercy, that it endures forever, that it will never run dry. It will never run dry. God's mercy will never run dry, no matter what you have done, what you have said, to whom you have may said it to, or whom you have may done it to. His mercy endures forever. Aren't you so thankful and grateful that we serve a God of that magnitude? Because we as people are not heeding to the word of God, we show no mercy sometimes, but we're thankful and grateful that we can go to a God that gives us the blueprint about mercy. Are you excited about that? Amen. And to my beloved brother, Brother Arnold, who is our cameraman, and to our beloved brother, Joy, who is our sound man, men behind the scene, but not behind the scene. They're seen by the love of God for what they do and how they do it. And I thank God for you and your families, allowing you to just be a part of what God is doing in our ministry. Amen. Notice I said not my ministry, but our ministry. This is the ministry, and the hand of God shall be up on us as we continue to heed to the vibrancy, the wooing, and the working of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the paraclete. He's the one that walks beside us, guides us, and teaches us all things that bring spiritual truth. Amen. I'm so excited today about this God's mercy and God's grace. God's mercy and God's grace. When we look at this word mercy, God's mercy also encaps the word of love. It also encaps the word of grace. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we know this by scripture in the book of John 3:16. That's the mercy of God, that he gave his only begotten son into a dying and sighing world. A world that turned its back on him, but by the grace of God, he sent his son into the world to show the world how much the Father loves them, how much compassion he has for them, regardless of what they may have done and what they may and who they have done it to. Aren't you glad about that? I'm so excited about that in the word of God. So let's go in scripture this morning to the book of old, in the book of Exodus. We're going to go this morning in the book of Exodus. And we're going to start in the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, to where we will see the writing. I'm reading from the NIV Life Application Study Bible this morning, but as we always say, I bring the King James Version of the Bible too with me in its entirety in the text. But as we look at Exodus, how many know that the word Exodus means exit out? It's the renowned door. It's what God brought the children of Israel out. They brought them out of something, amen, and he brought them out by his mercy and his grace. His mercy and his grace. Somebody say with me, God's mercy and God's compassion. Say that again, God's mercy and God's compassion. One more time that we will seal it, God's mercy and God's compassion. All right, let's go in the book, in the Word of God. And let's begin to read here in Exodus 33. And let's go in the first verse. Are you there with me? Grab your Bible. I'm going to give you some time to get your Bible, to get your Word of God. You get your coffee, you get your tea, you get your lemonade. Amen. But I do ask that you will pay attention to the Word of God, because God sends us messages. And sometimes when we don't heed to the Word of God, we can miss a vital portion of what God has to say to us, to bring clarity to us, to give us that one word of assurance, that know that all is well with us in our soul. Amen. So he says here in the first verse of the book of Exodus, in the 33rd chapter, he says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants.'" And then he says in verse 2, "I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." God says, I'm going to push these people out of the way. I'm going to push things out of your way. Things that may be trying to hold you or hinder you, maybe people, situations, maybe problems, maybe distracting you. But God says, he's going to do this. I will send an angel before you and drive out. God has angels encamped all about us. In the book of Psalms 91, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty." That means we're under God, because God is over us to protect us, to lead us and guide us, because of his mercy, his love, his loyalty, his honesty, and his grace and compassion for his people. Amen. Aren't you excited about God's love for you and for me and those that are called according to his purpose? Then he furthermore says here in verse 3, he tells Moses, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. He says, but I will not go with you, because you are what? Stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. But don't get so caught up on being stiff-necked and destroyed on the way. The only way that God desires not for his people to come into the land that which God had promised, if we don't heed to God's mercy and God's compassion. Now let's drop down to the 12th verse of this particular text, and let's look at God and what he wants to do and how he wants to do it for us as his people. Then he says right here in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Who's going to go, Moses said, with me to lead the people? You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Glory to God. If we are pleased, God said, Moses said, if you are pleased with me, Lord, teach me your ways. Notice he said he wants to know the ways of the Lord, not the ways of man. by God's mercy and God's grace. He says again here in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is what? Your people. The nation that we're in, today that we're in, the 25th of April, 2020, the year of our Lord, we are God's people. We're God's nation. We're the ethnicity of God by different colors, by different ethnicity groups, but we are the nation of God. And God wants us to be led by his authority and not the authority of man. For it is written, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God, which is God's mercy and God's compassion. Then we find in the 14th verse, he says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you what rests. He says, my presence will go with you, and that I will give you rest. He didn't say, I might give you rest. I'm thinking about giving you rest. You sometime might get rest. He said, no, my presence, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit's anointing, he says that his presence will go with you. And then he says, I will give you rest. That means God personally will bring rest to us. He will bring peace to us because he has mercy and compassion for us as his people. During these times, there's so much confusion going on by way that you may look at the statistics, by way of news broadcasts. It's good to look at the news, but it's not good just to sit there and ponder all day upon the news. You need to look and see what's going on, and then you have a discerning spirit for that which is true and that which is being falsified to increase a monopoly of illusion. But God will give you that as you trust in him and believe in his holy written word, that you can rightly divide and that you can tell what is true and what is not true. And then he says here in 15, then Moses says to him, how many know that God likes a dialogue, that we talk back unto God? It's a monologue and a dialogue that we talk back to God because God's mercy and compassion is for the people of God. I talk to God. God communicates with us. You may say, well, God doesn't talk to me. My beloved, he does talk to you by way of his holy written word. He talks to you by sending people your way, that when he speaks through people and it lines up with the scripture. But first of all, you must know him, believe in him, trust in him, obey him, and honor him that you may know the word for yourself in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Are you excited about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help us all. We need God. We need him. We need his son, Jesus. And he is the one that has preeminence over everything that we do, everything that we say. Look at this again in 15. He says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses said, if your presence is not going to be with me, Lord, I'm not going. When we do things because of God's mercy and compassion, we ask the Lord, Lord, let your presence be with me. During this time and economic pandemic of the COVID-19, when we leave out our house, we may go to the grocery store or things that we have to do. We say unto the Lord, Lord, let your presence be with me. Let your presence be in the midst of where I am going to protect me in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I'm excited about that. And then he says again, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Woo, that is a good place to be. How are you and I distinguished from all the other people on the face of the earth? First and foremost, God is no respecter of person. Let me say that. God is no respecter of a person. But what distinguishes one from all other people on the face of the earth is to whom you're following. Many people say, I don't know where I'm going. You don't have to know where you're going, but you must know to whom you're following. He says, Lord, if your presence is not with us, don't send us. But God says, my presence will be with you. When you're walking with God and the presence of God, people will know that you are God-sent people because of the presence of God that exuberates from you, the love of God that shows through you, and the compassion that you have for other people, a way that's not always in your presence in the name of Jesus. Look at this. He goes on to furthermore say this. If I'm moving too fast, hey, say slow down, but I'm like a locomotive right now. Get on the train, get on board. And then he says in 17 again, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do everything you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. He says, I will do everything that you ask because I'm the Lord thy God who is pleased with you. That's a good place to be. Glory to God. If God say, I will do everything that you ask because I'm the Lord thy God that is pleased with you, there'll be many people that will not be pleased with you. But it shouldn't matter because God says through the word that he is pleased with you. He is pleased with you that you are looking and listening and hearing the voice of God right now today. Wherever you may be, God is pleased with you. He is pleased with you because he has mercy and compassion for you. And then he comes and says in 18, then Moses said himself, now show me your glory. Moses says, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. Now let's go over to the book of Exodus. Let's go one chapter down in 34, and let's look at this. He says, show me your glory. God, if you're pleased with me, show me your glory. Show me that you are pleased with me. Show me how much mercy. Show me the compassion that you have, not just for me, but for your people. God, we need you right now, like we needed you before. There's not a day that you and I don't need the Lord and his son, Jesus Christ. We need him. So we call on the name of God, that peace may be still in the midst of all storms that's raging around us. Peace be still in every area of our life that's around us. Because it's the Lord thy God that can still and quiet storms of life. Look at this in 34, beginning at the first verse. That's Exodus 34 in the first verse. Look at this here. He says, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. We know the story that Moses came down and he had the tablets, the Ten Commandments, but he was moved by what he saw and he threw them down and he broke. But see, aren't you glad that we have a God of mercy and a God of compassion, that God gives us another chance over and over again? God will never leave you nor forsake you, nor have he seen the righteous begging for anything. Just because you and I have made a mistake in life doesn't mean that God will ostracize us and cast us out. No, he wants us to come to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to have a monologue, dialogue, and say, God, I made a mistake. Here I am, Lord. Clean me up. Touch me. Move upon my heart. that I may see the glorious work of your Son, Jesus Christ, that's been going on for years and years. I need to know him. Who is he? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He is your way maker. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Because God moved with compassion upon the people that he made in his image and in his likeness. Oh, I'm excited about this. 34 and verse 1 again, he says, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. He says, be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Zion. Present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. God says, I want you to come to the high place. And then he says, present yourself. He says, no one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may gaze in front of the mountain. He said, no one, nowhere, nobody else. I need to talk to you. See, there's a time that God wants you by yourself. He wants to reassure you that this is me who's doing what I'm going to do in your life. This is me who has given you the prophetic utterance from the holy throne of God and presented it unto you. Don't think God cannot use you to utter a prophetic utterance in the land. Right now, today, God wants to use you, but he wants you to come to Jesus first. It's all about Jesus, coming to Jesus, not just coming just to come, but coming knowing that your life will be changed, your life will be rearranged, your life will be touched, that you can see the mercy and the compassion of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, up on your life. And then he further goes on to say to Moses in the fourth verse, so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first stones and went up Mount Zion early in the morning. And the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. Isn't that good that God will come down? He will meet you. And when he come down, he's not going to try to confuse you and say, oh, well, this is somebody else. No, he told Moses that he came down and he proclaimed. Proclaiming is that he spoke out. He was not ashamed and told Moses, I am the Lord. See, we are to proclaim the same thing, not saying that we're God, but we are to proclaim that we know Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We'll proclaim this because God's mercy and God's compassion, God's love for each and every one of us. And then we see here in the text, let's go. And then he says in verse 5, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. Here it is. Listen to this. The Lord, the Lord. Say with me, the Lord, the Lord. Echo it again, the Lord, the Lord. It is the Lord thy God. It is only by the grace of God. Look at this. This is powerful. He says, proclaiming the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. Listen to this. And forgiving wickedness. Forgiving what? Wickedness, evil tendencies, evil thoughts, evil actions, rebellion and sin. God says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, he says, I'm slow to anger. He says, I'm abounding in love and in faithfulness. My beloved, if we can't see a merciful and gracious God, regardless of what may took place in our life and where we have come from or what may be going on in society, it doesn't matter. God is showing us that he alone is the Lord. And he alone is gracious. He alone is slow to anger towards his people. And he alone, God, has compassion. He alone maintaining love to thousands. Those that really don't have a care for him, he still loves you. Because he's a merciful and gracious God. Aren't you glad about that? I'm excited to know that we have a God that has mercy and compassion on each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. Now let's go over to the book of Old again, to the book of Nehemiah. Let's look at the book of Nehemiah. Let's look at the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. We're dealing with God's mercy and God's compassion. God's mercy and God's compassion. God's mercy, he shows us by the characteristics that he is God, that he is merciful and full of compassion. Number one, he shows us by his character and the characteristic traits. When it says that God himself, as we just read, that he forgives and he's glorious, he's faithful, and he's slow to anger, that means God has mercy for his people. He has mercy for me and mercy for you. It's not every time that we all get it right or that we all stand right or we all may speak right, but by God's mercy and God's grace and his compassion for us, when we can open up our hearts and open up our minds to see what God is trying to tell us and how he is trying to direct us. As it said with Moses, he says, if your presence is not with me, God, I don't want to go. But God says, my presence will be with you. That's God's mercy and his compassion to ensure that you are led by the Spirit of God, the indwelling, engrafted word that's grafted upon your heart to know that God speaks to you and that you gravitate to the word of God to be led by him through his son, Jesus Christ. So let's look at here in Nehemiah 9. And let's pick it up in the fifth verse, Nehemiah 9:5. And it says, and the Levites, Jashua, Kitmah, Baiah, Hashaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethaniah said, stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. He says to stand up and praise your Lord your God. He says, stand up and praise the Lord your God. You ought to be excited regardless of what may be going on or what may be happening in this world. We're going to stand up and praise the Lord thy God. Stand up and praise the Lord thy God. I know it. I feel it. I understand it. I believe it. I don't care what goes against me or who's against me. I'm going to stand up and praise the Lord thy God. Praise the Lord thy God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. This is an exciting word. This exciting time. God knows what we need. God knows where we are. God knows who is going to press in to the mold, the image, and likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. God already knows that we can cry on with a voice of triumph. He says, cry out with a voice of triumph. Just as the children of Israel cried out, and God heard them. And he sent Moses, as you know the story, because he was moved with compassion. He was moved because the people was being slaughtered. They was being led by evil and not truth. My mode of operante, as God sees me here right now today speaking to you, I don't claim to be known everything, but one thing I know, that Jesus Christ is Lord. One thing I know, that the words that we speak are not our own, but they are him who sent us. And if we desire to do his will, then he will show himself strong. Not just in my life, but your life as well. Glory to God. Let's get back to the text. Let's get back to the text. And then he says to stand up. Whom is everlasting. He's an everlasting God. That goes to his mercy endures forever. Everlasting. It will never run dry. And then he continues to say it. Blessed be your glorious name. And may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. Six says, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth, and all that is on it, the sea, and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heavens worship you. He says, the multitude of heavens. Just tell me there's more than one. Multitude of heavens. Then he goes on to say right here. My. Then he continues to move and says right here. You are the Lord, seven, who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Shadowlands and named him Abraham. You found his heart faithful to you. And you made a covenant with him to give to his descendants the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites. You have kept your promise because you are righteous. Woo! He says, you kept your promise, God, because you are a righteous God. He kept his promise. And God will keep his promise to you. He will keep his promise to me. Because he's a righteous God. That's the mercy of God and the compassion of God, that he will keep his promise. God is a promise-keeping God. He says, because you kept your promise. Let's go back into the text. He says, because you kept your promise. You kept your promise because you are righteous. Verse 9 say, you saw the suffering of our ancestors in Egypt. See, God sees everything. God sees everything. I'm not saying that we're in Egypt or we're living in Egypt, but there are perilous times that we're living in. And God sees everything. He sees the suffering of his people. He sees the hurt of his people. He sees the unsureness of his people. He sees that our minds are withering away on things more concerned about the world. But God says, I made the heavens and earth, and all things therein belongs to me. I know what you need, and I will deliver because I'm the Lord thy God. Can't you see that in Scripture? He says, because. You have kept your promise because you are righteous. God will keep his promise because we know that he's a righteous God. Verse 9 again, you saw the suffering of the ancestors in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials and all the people of his land. For you know how arrogantly the Egyptians threatened them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. God said, he said, you made a name. He says, God, you made a name for yourself that remains to this day. That let us know that he's the same God of the old. He's the same God in the new. If God delivered and he sees all things of the old, he can still do it in the new. If God made provision for the people in the wilderness, he fed them by manna, God can make provision for us in the days that we live in. Don't be afraid. Don't frighten. Just trust God, and God will deliver. God will, because he say he makes a way out of no way. Look at the word of God again with me. He says right here, in the word, he says, look at this. He says right here in 10, you sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials those that was in charge, depressing the people, oppressing the people, not doing right by the people, holding the people back, making decisions that will not benefit the people, making decisions that will only benefit themselves because they felt that they were higher than the people. But God says right here, and the people of his land, for you know how arrogantly Egyptians treat them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground. But you held their pursuers into the depths like a stone into mighty waters. By day you led them with the pillar of cloud, and by night with the pillar of fire, to give them light on the way they were to take. God directs us. God leads us because of his mercy and his compassion. 13 says, you came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You came down and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and the laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. Do you see that? God did this. God did this. And only God will keep his promises. When he gives us decrees, he gives us commands, God will see us through. And then he says right here, you made known to them your holy Sabbath and gave them commandments, decrees, and laws through your servant Moses. He says, you did this through Moses. You did this through Moses. You showed them how much your compassion, how much your mercy is. He says, in their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven. God will supply what we need. God will supply what we need. This is scripture. God will supply what we need. He says, right here again, in their hunger, 15, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from a rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. But God is saying that if I promise you something, regardless of what may look like in the land or how the land may be shaped and how the land may be formed, if I, God, promise to protect you, guide you, and provide for you, then that's exactly what I will do and I will continue to do. It doesn't matter who's in the land. It doesn't matter who think they control the land. But if you follow my laws and follow my commandments, then I will make provision. Now keep this in mind. It's not saying, or am I saying, that you don't abide by the laws of the land. That's according and being obedience to the will of God. But you do things according to that which God says that's righteous, that's obedient by God. And it should parallel and should mean that you are abiding that which is right and that which is not wrong. It doesn't say that you go steal from someone else because you don't have. That's wrong. That's not right by God. That's not a righteous God. It doesn't say that you cheat because there are things out there to get money right now, and financial institutions are giving money right now. That doesn't mean that you would do anything in means to get and say, oh, it's the Lord thy God. That's not God. Be truthful about it. Be wise about it. Have the understanding about it. And then God will open up the door for that which you need. Not out of your greed, but that which you need because of the compassion and the mercy of God himself. So let's look here as we begin to descend on this here in 2 Corinthians, the book of New. I want you to write down this point here, this thought that I have in my notes. I want you to see this. It's dealing with God's mercy and compassion. God himself showed this very, very clear in his Son Jesus Christ, who, being God himself, became man in the natural form and demonstrated his love, his grace, and his compassion towards humanity. I'm going to say that again. God himself, the creator of all things, shows us very clearly through his Son, Jesus Christ, who being God himself, but not considered himself to be above God, became man in the natural form, that he may understand fully and in its entirety what we as humanity go through and experience. In the natural form again, and demonstrated his love, his grace, and compassion towards humanity in its entirety. He demonstrated his love, he demonstrated his compassion in its entirety towards us. God sent his Son, who demonstrated in the natural form his compassion, his grace, and his love that the Father has for us. He showed us so much and continue to show us so much through people like me and you alike, the compassion of the Father towards people. Now let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, and we'll begin to descend here. And if Jesus tarrying is coming, we'll pick it up again on the next time that we meet in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. And let's pick it up in the first verse. We're dealing with God's mercy and God's compassion. Before we go there, go over to the book of Matthew. I want to show you why. You say, well, why? Because Jesus says why. And because he was moved with this. Compassion and mercy. Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 9 and in the 36th verse. Chapter 9 and 36. Let's look at this here. Moving with compassion. It says in the 36th verse, 9 and 36, we see the writing here. It says that when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said, I see what's going on. I see and I understand. But I'm your shepherd and I'm going to lead you. The promises of God are yes and amen to all that believe and trust him. Jesus himself, the one who God has given all power and authority, he was overwhelmed with compassion, with compassionate pity for the people. He echoed the deep inner mercy of God, as is written in the book of Ezekiel 34, 5 and 6. And you can read that. He echoed the same thing that God had echoed, because he was moved with compassion for the people. And as we live today, right now, today, as it is today, he is moved with compassion for us as his people. He is moved with compassion. He has not left us. He is still moved with compassion. He hears our cry. And I believe by the prophetic utterance of the voice of God that he will cease. He will cease and push back destruction, evil, and wickedness that has come up against his people who are called by his name. He will heal the land because of our prayers and deep concern for our loved ones and the ones that's around us. He will do it. trust in him, he will. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, we see the writing of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, we see these writings of the Apostle Paul. He says, right here, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, it's always by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Antioch. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking, grace and peace to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to all of you around the world, around the globe, in the north, in the south, the east, and the west. May God's grace and peace be with you. Verse 3 say, praise to be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Look at that, compassion. And the God of all comfort. There it is. Who comfort us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. When we take the comfort and the Holy Spirit who comforts us, then we're able to reach out and comfort others. Not turning our back, not turning away, not say you get yours and I get mine. God says, no, we comfort one another because we are all in this together. We are all one family. It doesn't matter where you're from and your color, your creed. It doesn't matter if you're from Beverly Hills or you down from the bayous. It doesn't matter if you're in Christ. You're one family. You're one family. He goes on to say here. 5, for just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for what? If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation, to make sure that we know who Christ is through our troubles, through our trials, and through our tribulations. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering we suffer. God says he don't desire that you suffer, but going through things and things happening to us. We don't get bent out of shape because we know God is going to work all things out for our good according to his purpose. But we got to go through it. And going through it, notice it said we go through this thing because there's an outer appearance and an outcome that we will see the manifestation of what God is bringing us through. He will bring us through this together. Verse 7 says, and our hope for you is firm. My hope for you is firm. God's hope for me is firm. As I am the lead sheep of spoken word, my hope, God's hope for me is to stand firm. And to believe God and trust God and obey God and continuing to press towards, continuing to be a son of God, continuing to read and study the word of God, that I may be faithful and loyal to God, that I don't fall away to the prey and to the wiles and the enemy of the devil. That when we all come back together, that my mind is still focused on him, that my heart has been given to him, that I live for him, and that you do the same, because we're all in this together in the name of Jesus. And he goes on to say in verse 8, we do not want you, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about troubles and experience in the providence of Asia. He was saying, I don't want you not to know what's going on in the globe. I don't want you not to know what's happening in Spanaway. I don't want you not to know what's happening in Seattle. I don't want you not to know what's happening in Olympia. I don't want you not to know what's happening in New York. and in China, in Texas, Virginia, Alabama, all around California. He says, it's not that I don't want you to know, but I do want you to know. I don't want you not to be uninformed. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. We are under great pressure, far beyond, oh Holy Ghost, far beyond what we can ever know and think and understand. We are under so much great pressure, Lord, that we don't know what to do, but you have already seen how it's going to turn out, when it's going to stop. And it's going to stop by us coming together as people of one, not being torn away from the adversary, the accuser of the brother, but believing that we are the body of Christ as a whole in its entirety, praying for one another, seeking a holy God, a righteous God, praying unto the Father of glory that he will come and heal the land. So, Father, we thank you again for your mercy, your grace, your power, your authority, that you will reign in these times, that we are unsure. We can't comprehend. But only you know, Lord, when it shall cease, when it shall dry up, and when the way will be clear. But Father, my prayer right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that many will turn away from whatever they are turned to, but turn unto Christ, the Lord Jesus, who is the head and who is the Alpha and who is the Omega, who is the beginning and the end. Now, Father, I ask you this. On the behalf of all men and women around the world, God, that you will echo a word that will be rhema into everyone's ear to bring clarity, to bring assurance, to bring peace, and to bring hope. And that this word will not be a word that's made up from man's ability, man's authority, but the man Christ Jesus. And that it will be true and uphold all things by the words of his power as it is written in the word of God. So, Father, we thank you once again that you will bring many to know you. And those that do not know you, God, we pray that they will come to seek after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that they will humbly submit themselves unto Christ. The Bible says, no one knows the time or the hour that the Son of Man will return. But when he returns, he says, I will reward, I will repay. So I'm pleading with you, my brothers and sisters, that you come to know him. Him being Jesus Christ, not Daryl, but Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he will too come into your life. God's mercy, God's compassion, God's love for you as a people. Remember, God is on your side, and he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to show us how much he loves us by way of in the natural becoming a man, that he feels pain and understand what we all go through. But by his compassion and the glory of God, as we look to him to be our author and finisher of our faith, we can hold fast to the promises. Because God says his presence will be with us. May God be with you, guide you, and direct you until we all meet again. Know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that it's all about Him. God bless you.